Good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my very trusty, comical, and tall co-host, Jim Hobgood. Good to be back in the Sports Radio 910 studios tonight. UVA fans are gearing up for a big ACC away game as the Hoos travel down to Atlanta to play Georgia Tech. That's a 3:30 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. Hoos Talking goes behind the scenes to take a closer look at Wahoo athletes and the UVA athletic program. Jim and I will preview the upcoming Georgia Tech game and some exciting Hoos Talking events such as the game watching party this coming Saturday at TGI Fridays in Short Pump. Take it away, Jim.
Absolutely. This is indeed Hobbo. We have another exciting show lined up for you tonight. We will be joined shortly by former UVA star quarterback as well as NFL great as well as Packer Hall of Famer Don Majkowski. He'll be followed tonight. We made a little change in the lineup. We thought he was going to be followed tonight by Tony Bennett. Tony has a conflict early in the show, so he'll be on later. So we're going to go with Chris Wright, the editor of the Saber, to talk some UVA football in our second half hour. A little later, we'll have West End Orthopedics Dr. Michael Wind with the information on the Virginia injury support report, not support. And as we said, Coach Tony Bennett, who Frank and I went over to Charlottesville real quick this afternoon for Media Day, connected with the basketball program. So we hustled over to Charlottesville, hustled back to Richmond to get on the air with Tony Bennett, who we saw 2 or 3 hours ago. But anyway, all that tonight in the next couple of hours. And now Frank will tell you how you can follow the show.
As always, Hoos Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. We encourage everyone to send their questions and comments via Facebook, both now and during the week. Normally, as usual, we actually are taking calls tonight throughout the show. We're looking forward to any calls relative to football, basketball, or really any other sports at Virginia. That number is 345-0910, 345-0910. All of our shows are archived on thesaber.com, and quite a few people lately have been remarking how much they enjoy that, particularly if they're traveling or something and they can't tune in. And as always, we encourage you to go to Facebook, and you'll see some great pictures this week that Elton Brown took. He and his mother took when they were on the field Saturday. So I encourage you to go on Facebook and become a fan of Hoos Talking, and then check out Elton Brown's pictures because they're absolutely amazing, particularly the pictures from the locker room and so forth.
Well, Frank, there was a football game on Saturday in Charlottesville. It was more of a football game in the second half than it was the first half against Florida State. And, you know, as you often point out, I'm not exactly an expert when it comes to football. It tends to be above my pay grade. But the one thing that struck me as I watched particularly the first half is the fact that Florida State is really athletic. They are really fast. They have a good football team. And I'm sitting there thinking, how good is Oklahoma? That Oklahoma beat up on these guys. Maybe Florida State had a bad day. I don't know. But Florida State certainly is going to be a contender in the ACC this year. It'll be interesting. I think they match up with Miami this week. Big game for both of those schools. We have to check the schedule. Game in Tallahassee or down in Miami?
It's at Miami.
At Miami.
That's a big game.
So it'll be a challenge for the Seminoles.
Well, I think that's for both teams. That's for bragging rights this year. That's a big game, not just in the state of Florida, but also ramifications throughout the conference. But clearly one thing you have to take away after watching Florida State in that first half is, oh my goodness, they've got some fast players. They're skilled, you know, on both sides of the ball. Virginia was 0-for-7 on third down attempts when Virginia had the football and trying to get first downs. And, you know, they were lucky to get the ball away. The pass
At the end of the first quarter, I don't think they had very many yards. I think they had like 15 or 20 net yards in the first quarter.
Well, all in all, the thing that obviously was a brutal indicator for Coach London and his staff was Virginia only had 25 rushing yards through the whole game.
Yeah.
And that's not the kind of thing that you can expect in the future. I think they're going to establish the run. And clearly Florida State is – I think they're better than they were advertised, and we knew they were good. Clearly, they're better.
Well, they've had athletes for years, and I think their recent record where, you know, they've actually been human in recent years where they've lost 2, 3, 4, 5 games in a season a lot of ACC fans in particular are not used to that. They're used to Florida State losing one, maybe two, and that's it. So they're going to be a very good football team. It'll be interesting to see how Virginia responds after that loss when they go to Atlanta, and we'll have more of a discussion on that as we go through the program. I think we're going to have the Magic Man on shortly. Again, phone number 345-0910. You're welcome to call in with a question to our guests as well as Frank and yours truly. Look forward to hearing from you. Comments or questions, for that matter.
Well, why don't we do this while I know our engineer, Jesse, is trying to hunt down Donald Vincent Mikowski, who I used to love Coach Welsh talking about his running game and also the play of Don Mikowski. It's going to be interesting to get the Magic Man on the show here. The Magic Man played for three NFL teams, Hobo. I bet you didn't know that.
I did know that. Thanks to our research analyst, Michael Tusky, who handed me that information about a half hour
ago. 10 minutes ago.
Prepared Hobo.
Aircraft research team.
Well, it's better than it was last year, I'll tell you that.
we had Maloney alone.
And that wasn't quite good enough, to be honest with you.
I appreciate that. We were looking at some stats on Don, and, the interesting thing is I think he was more a quarterback of efficiency. Excellent ball fakes, could run and scramble when needed, could run the option occasionally if needed, good drop-back passer when needed, a very versatile player, and clearly Coach Welsh, who was quite a quarterback at Navy, taught him everything he knew, because Don Mikowski, I think, was one of those guys that kept improving throughout his college career, and then as he went on to the pros, and he played for the Packers, the Colts, and the Lions for not quite seven seasons. He owns three Packer records, some notable achievements and so forth. Let's see here. Originally with Green Bay, he was wearing jersey number 5, which is kind of strange because when he was at Virginia, I think he wore jersey number 1 for a while. Have we had Don on the line? Don, are you there?
I'm here. Hey, guys.
We were bragging on you. This is co-host Frank Maloney and Jim Hobgoods to my right. We're glad to have you on board. Don, you probably would know this, but I was a couple of years ahead of you at UVA, and we were very proud of you and what the Virginia football team did, particularly in 1984 when you guys put together 8 wins, which at that time was absolutely amazing relative to the previous 15 years or so of UVA football. And anyway, we're glad you're on board tonight. I guess first question we want to ask you is, you probably hadn't followed UVA much this year, but you probably can recognize that Coach Mike London is trying to rebuild the program, much like Coach Welsh was trying to rebuild back there in the early 80s. What were some of the things that Coach Welsh would preach to the coaches and you players during that time?
Well, Coach Welsh was he was a different guy. He was a disciplinarian. He came from Annapolis, the Naval Academy. And he was a pretty straightforward guy, very dry humor. Wasn't a very talkative guy back then. And he was just a straight shooter. When he recruited me when I came out of Fort Union Military Academy, he told me he was real excited with the opportunity that I would have and being a part of rebuilding, the Virginia football program. And that's exactly the way it turned out. When I was there, I starting as a sophomore. And taking UVA to the first bowl game in the school's history and going to the Peach Bowl, like you mentioned before, in 1984, was a great stepping stone for that program and really, really took that program to the next level. To start with the beginning is taking that program to the next level.
Hey, Don, this is Jim Hobgood. Thanks for joining us tonight. I just wanted to kind of follow your path to Charlottesville. You're from upstate near Buffalo, New York, and you mentioned Fork Union Military Academy. How did you get to Fork Union, and then what made you decide to go to the University of Virginia?
Well, Fork Union was actually what saved my possibility of receiving a Division I scholarship. My senior year in high school at DePue High School, the first game of my senior year, I threw a pass and I broke my passing hand in 2 spots, and I had a cast on basically my whole senior year. And as a result, I didn't get recruited. I didn't get any exposure. And I didn't receive one scholarship offer that year for a Division I school. So, Fork Union was a great opportunity for me to really have a chance to have a senior year over again. And they have a great postgraduate program there. I went and played there for the legendary Red Pulliam. And John Schumann, who's a coach there, now is a defensive coordinator. had a great year, and we played against some great competition. We played against a lot of other JV teams back then. We played Virginia, North Carolina, Penn State, got highly recruited out coming out of Fort Union. So, Charlottesville was only 40 minutes away from Fort Union or so, and they obviously recruited me very heavily since it was such close vicinity. And I really wanted to go to a program that I could be a part of rebuilding the program. And I wanted to go someplace that didn't have an established starter as a sophomore and I have to wait for 3 years. So I was able to go in there, early and compete for a starting job in my sophomore year.
Don, it was interesting watching that team, particularly in 1984. You guys had a great blend of running backs, wide receivers. I think you had John Ford. And who was your tight end during that time frame?
We had Geno Zimmerman.
Yep.
A real small tight end, and we had Nick Merrick,
yep.
John Muhaw, a bunch of possession wide receivers. So, John Ford was our speed guy. He was only a freshman though. At my sophomore year. So, we had a bunch of possession guys. Didn't have all the talent that they did later in later years when Sean Moore took over and Herman Moore and Matty Olin and all these great receivers. But we got a lot done with what we have. You said we had a great offensive line with Jim Dombrowski and Bob Olderman, and of course we had Barry Word and Howard Petty, some good running backs that were good quality guys.
That year in 1984, I think that was the year that Coach Welsh told me last summer in an interview that he remembered that game in late September down at Virginia Tech, and he. Mm-hmm. I asked him, what was the point when at Virginia that he felt like he could turn the corner and start to think of bigger things? And he referenced that game, and obviously the play that everyone remembers was the 4th-and-1 where you threw the long bomb to John Ford. But he said the play beside that people forget was right before halftime. The field goal kicker made a 50-yarder, Kenny Stadlin, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
He said you guys went into halftime and everybody thought they were headed to Christmas or something. They were so happy. And describe what it was like on that fourth and one play, maybe there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that was the first game that I had any kind of impact, in my career at Virginia. It was the fourth game of the season. I hadn't started the first three games. Kevin Ferguson from Appomattox started, the first three games, and we struggled a little bit as a team, and coach was looking for a spark, and I think in the second quarter or second half at Virginia, they inserted me to try to get things going, and we started lighting things up pretty good and really gained some momentum, and pretty much after that game I became the regular starter, he's exactly right, that was a turning point of that season. Winning at Virginia Tech and having that 4th-and-1 call. I mean, we had things really going in our way that game. A lot of momentum was on our way, and we were running the ball very effectively. So when it was 4th-and-1, and for him to call a play action pass, I mean, they were totally sold on a run. It was a great call. I just had to execute and get the ball to Ford. And as people were old enough to remember, I mean, it was a, 40 or 50-yard completion that he caught on his fingertips. And it was and took it down to the goal line. It was a great play. We went in to win the game 26-23. I remember it very well.
Well, Don, we're going to take a break now. Can you hang with us through the break? Because we got a couple of more questions to ask you when we return.
Absolutely.
All right, we're visiting with Don Majkowski. We'll be back with Who's Talking after these messages.